I want to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody this morning, because we know it'll be Thursday. And for some, you know, it's not as happy a Thanksgiving at times, and other times it is. But wherever you are, we're still to be thankful. Amen? No matter what's going on, listen, your mother-in-law's coming. Right, Bren? Your mother-in-law's coming. And your brothers are coming, your sister-in-law, your brother-in-law, whoever it is, your nieces and nephew, whatever happens, who's ever coming does not control you. I want to say it again. Who's ever coming does not control you. You're either a thermostat or a thermometer, right? You either set the temperature in the room or you're affected by the temperature in the room. So as men and women of God, because he said, be holy as he is holy, right? Or as I am holy. He said to be holy. He didn't say go in there and act like a brat. Gets quiet. Oh, man. Rats, I can't do that this year. No, you don't have the freedom to do that. You don't have that kind of a freedom. Remember, we said weeks ago, John 1:1 says, in the beginning, what? Was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In John 8:31, it says, if you continue in my Word, if you continue in my Word, if you continue in my Word, John 8:31 says what? If you continue in my Word, and the Word, there, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Right. So if you continue in my Word, then you'll be set free. So you're going to have to act out the Word. Right? Everybody here knows how to act out words, don't you? YMCA. You all acted that out for years. You did that in front of everybody. You didn't care who was looking at how goofy you looked. Right? We'll skip that. If you continue in the Word, you'll be free. If you get lost in your thoughts, you'll be in bondage. When Thanksgiving comes, you've got a choice. When I walk in there, if they look at me like they did the last year, it's over. It's on. Honey, I'm not holding back this year. I'm telling everybody how I think. Please don't. She doesn't even want to know how you think. Forget everybody else in there, all right? Here's how we want you to think, according to the Word. That's right. Romans 1:21. Sorry, I forgot to give him my scriptures ahead of time. Sorry, Zach. That's why they're not coming up as quickly. But Romans 1:21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. And then it goes on to say, because of vain imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened, for this cause God gave them over to vile affections. Because they weren't thankful. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm very thankful. Amen. Right. Unthankfulness causes you to walk into the darkness. Unthankfulness brings you into bondage. This is not about how you feel. This is about what his Word says, because in the beginning was the Word. Right. John 8:31 says that if you what? Continue in my Word, you'll be free, right? That's where we have to stay. We can't get outside the Word. It can't get into a place where because they did, because if that was the case, all of us are going to hell if it was based on what we did. This is based on what he did. Amen? Did he set you free? Tell your neighbor, say, I am free indeed. I am free indeed. See, because if we're getting ready for Thanksgiving dinner, you're going to have to walk in that freedom. Why? Because you're the one that's setting the tone for freedom for everybody that shows up. Amen? Everybody that comes, you're the one that brings freedom. Because when you bring the Word, when you walk in the Word, freedom walks in. I think that's what you need to shout when you walk through the door. Freedom has entered the room. Well, it's better than misery has entered the room. Anger has entered the room. All Grumpy and his other six brothers has entered the room. This is what so many people do. They have a preconceived idea of how they're going to act before they even get there. How silly is that? God's done things so that we would be free from all the silliness. All right? And most of the silliness occurs within a 6-inch span, depending on the size of your head. Most of the silliness happens because of things that happened a long time ago. Can we forgive? Can we release each one in our lives? Every single one. You see, because when we become thankful, we start to release things in our lives. Unthankfulness holds on to things. Unforgiveness and bitterness, regret, all of those things happen. We become unthankful when we live in an unthankful world. You know, we see and we watch many times as the children of Israel, right in Numbers in chapter 11, verses 18 to 20, who were reminded, the children of Israel, now they're walking in the wilderness and they're eating manna, angel food, angels preparing food every morning, sweet bread. Manna actually means, what is it? Nobody knows. Sorry, ladies, you did not get that recipe. Not even your grandma has it in her cookbook. But it was manna. Here God is feeding them. They have to toil and labor for none of it. It's handed out. Every nutrient they need to sustain the body is in it, unlike the food in America. All that God supplies has everything you need. We got to get back to what God supplies, not what man has synthetically created. But when God is supplying everything that Israel needed, that bread, and they got frustrated. Where's the meat? I guarantee I'd have been one of them people. I'm just saying. Guaranteed. I guarantee I would have, just like you. Because we're no different than them. How many things have... look at how blessed we are as a nation. And then think about how much you complain about the nation. Don't we? There's always something. And most of the time, you're complaining about someone else. Just turn to your neighbor and say, I'm sorry. Turn to your other neighbor. You should be. Listen, we have all done it. We've complained about what God has supplied for us. You guys look amazing. Look at the way you're dressed. It's amazing. You guys have everything. Each of us do. All of our needs have been met. Amen? We should be the most thankful. Are all your sins washed away? All right. So if that's the case, we should be the most thankful people on the planet. There should be no unthankfulness in our lives. Not at all. But just like the people of Israel. And what did God do? He said, you're not happy with what I've done? Oh, I'm going to give you meat. Not just for a day. Not for 2 days. Not for 5 days. I'm going to give you that meat until it comes out of your nose. That's what the scripture says. I'm not making that up. That's what the scripture... It's going to come out your nose. You're going to be sick of it. You're going to have so much of it. This is what happens with unthankful people. No matter what we want, it never satisfies. He's the only one that does. Amen? You know, and that's why, you know, unthankful people are known to be bitter or unforgiving towards themselves. How hard are you on yourself? If you're an unthankful person, you're pretty hard on yourself. Oh, I wish that I could bring everybody to our house, cook you an amazing meal. My wife cooked you an amazing meal. Because the only meal I ever cooked her, she reminded me of, was pancakes once in 37 years. So you don't want my cooking. Only dinner. Only dinner, sorry. I made a lot of breakfast, but not dinner. But to come to the house so that you would understand how valuable you are. And all I'd want to do is sit there for hours and tell you how beautiful you are, how wonderful you are, how fearfully and wonderfully made you are. What a gift you are to the body, the plan that God has for your life, so that every thought you have by the time you leave would be, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If I wish I could do that so you would stop beating yourself up. Please stop. Please. God has made all things new. All things new. All things new. You're not who they said you were. You're not what you did. How many people still get caught up in what they have done and then tell themselves what they have done over and over again so they can't do what God asked them to do? You're not a sum total of what you've done. You're a sum total of what he's done. It's no longer we that live. Therefore, now what he has done, his righteousness has been imputed to me. Now I'm free to walk in that joy. Right? People that are not thankful don't walk in joy. And they criticize everything. They don't have any joy. Usually people that are very unthankful are quite lonely. Because who wants to listen to that after a while? Right? And then you beat yourself up, so you go sit in the corner some more. God said he wants to bring you out. Just like he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he wants to bring you out of that thought process. How are you going to do it? By being thankful. Amen? You know, his love has never changed towards any one of us. Even in that deep darkness that we were in before him, he still loved us. Even in the garden, when we're reminded of the garden, when Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what did God do? As a loving father, he went looking and said, "Where are you? Where are you?" Can I tell you, he's saying the same thing today. When you make a mistake and then you try to run and hide or you start to condemn yourself, God says, "Where are you? I'm the father that restores. I'm the father that rebuilds. I'm the father that repairs. I'm the father that welcomes you back in." And when we come in, instead of saying, "Thank you," we say, "Well, you couldn't possibly be that nice. You can't be that good." I remember when I first went to the church in Biloxi, I walked in there and I was like, they can't love each other this much. Because I'm coming from the way that I think. I couldn't believe that the church loved one another the way that they, that many people, there was 400 people in the church. I walked in and a whole bunch of them came up and said, "Hi, welcome." I'm like, "Hi, are you for real?" You know, one of them was my wife now and five of her friends, they all came up. I didn't know that every 6 weeks, you know, there's new airmen coming through that base and the new guys would come to the church and all of her girlfriends would line up, "Oh, new boys, let's go check them out." And let's give them the word. Let's just bless them. Is that true? Yes, it's true. All right. See, I'm not making something up. They were the welcoming committee. I wonder how many more teenage boys we've had. We got to build a welcoming committee. All you young girls, you got to be out there on the street just welcoming everybody, man. We'll have every teenager in town here. I like it. But, you know, God is the one that calls. Every time that we step outside of what God's called us to do, he's the father that comes and says, "Where are you? What are you saying? That's not what I said about you. That's not what I've spoken over your life. That's not the words that I use. Please stop using those words about yourself." He's a loving father. He's a restorative father. He's a father that never changes. His love never does. And the pattern of God is the same through the ages. No matter how many times we go astray, he's the one that pursues us, not because we deserve it, but because his nature is love. His nature is everlasting love. Can I tell you, I am so thankful for his everlasting love. Man, that's the difference of everything this world has. Because nothing in this world is everlasting. Nothing the world has is everlasting, but God's love is. You know, no matter how far we ran, he chased us down. I was running fast, at least in my eyes. I never got to the place that Elijah got where he outran a chariot, but I thought I was running pretty fast, and I couldn't get away from him because he always chased me down. And I know it was because my mom and Miss Kathy, Kathy was in my mom's prayer group for years praying for me. And can I tell you, when people are praying, when you're praying for your children, don't stop. And don't stop being thankful. Not thankful for what they're doing, but thankful that his word is true and that he's going to bring them back into the house of God. No matter how fast they run, they can't outrun the Holy Ghost. There's no outrunning the Holy Ghost. So don't sit there and beg God. We're not beggars. Tell your neighbor, say, you're no beggar. That's right. You are a child of the Most High God. Therefore, when you come before your Father, does he hear and answer your cry? Yes. He does. Therefore, we start to rejoice and we're thankful. Father, I thank you that you're chasing after that one. They think they're running fast. Look at them. They're stumbling and falling on their face. They're falling. They're going left and right. They're not even going forward. They don't even know what to do. They're an easy catch for the Holy Ghost. God's only looking for some thankful people to agree with his word, to stand in that grace and say, Father, you're already taking care of it. You're already on it. And I thank you now. My heart's rejoicing. Listen, some of them, maybe they're coming home for the holiday. Maybe you're struggling with some of the wayward ones, their lifestyle, the way that they act, or whatever it is. Listen, when you come in, just start to thank God for them. Just start to encourage them. We want to straighten things out. Don't we want to fix things when everybody comes home? Oh, he needs to do this. She needs to do this. Oh, if they could just do this. Oh, if they... And we want to fix everything. Okay, just me.
No.
All right. How about we let him fix everything? Because he's the only one that's fixed us. Amen? 27 people couldn't fix you. Every counselor on the planet, if they got together, they couldn't fix you. If you sat with Jordan Peterson for the next 6 years, he couldn't fix you. The only one that can fix us is the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Because he's the only one that brings deliverance. And when he comes and brings deliverance, I don't know about you, but I'm very thankful for the deliverance he brought in my life. I am so thankful. And I'm so thankful for the work he's done in yours. And you know, the ultimate expression of God's pursuit is found in the person of Jesus, right? The incarnation, the divine pursuit made flesh. God stepping down from heaven to seek and save that which is lost. The most beautiful expression of God's love. You know, it's the ultimate demonstration of how far God will go for one. You want to demonstrate your love for God? Then we're going to have to love like he does. We're going to have to learn to love like he does and be thankful, not for all things, but in all things. Some things are going to happen on Thanksgiving, Christmas, or whenever. Maybe it'll happen this week. Maybe it'll happen before you leave this building. And you're going to have to make a choice. God made a choice to send the only begotten Son, the divine expression of his love for each and every one of us. Because he desired us so much. He held back nothing. Psalms 103:17. It says, but the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. And his righteousness to his children's children.
Yeah.
Righteousness has been imputed to you. Amen? Right. So tell your neighbor, say, I am righteous because he made me righteous. Right. Tell your other neighbor, say, I am righteous.
I am righteous.
It's my favorite guy in Nemo, right? The turtle. Righteous, he said, that little turtle. But how hard is it for some people to say that they are righteous? Right? Because the word says you're righteous. He made you righteous. He imputed it into you or unto you. He wiped away your sin. He paid the debt of everything you did wrong. Done. Finished. You're righteous. And guess what? See what the end of that says? And his righteousness to children's children. Can you just grab a hold of that this Thanksgiving? And every time you see one of your grandchildren, maybe it's your child or your grandchild, whatever it is, and just grab a hold of them. Ooh, righteous. Righteous. Pull them in close, not, hey, how you doing? All right? Just because you're from New York, you don't have to use that line. Right? But you walk in, hey, it's good to meet another righteous one. What the heck is wrong with you? Nothing. I'm just saying what the word says. Why? Because it's the truth. And it's for my children's children. And therefore, righteousness coming through you is going to be deposited into your children and your children's children. That's what the scripture's saying here. When you stand in faith and you stay thankful, tell your neighbor, say, I'm thankful. You know, when we know the heart of God and his character, we learn to trust him. In Psalm 17, or 7:17, it said, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness. Is there anything lacking in God? Does he ever lie? Does he ever change? All right. He said, I shall celebrate both his justice and his mercy. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. The name of God is often put for his perfections. He's perfect in all of his ways. He said, I want you to be thankful in the midst of everything. In the midst of it all. I don't want you wavering. I don't want you changing because of what somebody else says or does. I don't want you being moved, tossed by every wind. To and fro. One minute you're happy, one minute you're upset, that is miserable, isn't it? Remember when you used to be like that? Not no more, thank God. Not here. Not in this house. So this is not about your righteousness, but his that's been given to you. Are you righteous?
Yes.
Right. So you have right standing with God. There's nothing between your soul and your Savior. Amen? Right, there's nothing there. So every time that you start to doubt, you try to build something and put it there. Every time you start to lie against the truth, you start to look at someone else and condemn what God has created. And everybody takes a deep breath on that one because we're all guilty. God hates it. Because if we're righteous, what made us righteous? His love towards us. Not me. All of my works were filthy rags. But then he came in like a flood and changed everything. He pushed me into a place. Maybe he drug you. I don't know what it was. Somebody was praying and the Holy Ghost came up behind you. And he tried to give you a nudge. You didn't listen. So he tied his holy rope around you and he drug you through the doors. And then somebody said, you're worthy. And you thought, maybe these people aren't all that crazy. Maybe they aren't all bad. Maybe there's some good ones in here. Tell your neighbor, say, you're one of the good ones. You are. Please, this is thinking like God thinks. This is thinking the way that you're righteous. When you walk in love, then you're walking in the very character of God. When you walk in bitterness and hatred, and when you walk in unforgiveness, that's the character of another father, but that's not ours. Amen? And that's where the devil wants to pull you down to. He wants you to think, he wants you to become embittered and unforgiving because he knows it's contrary to where God has brought you and he knows it's nothing but bondage. God said, wait, I came to set you free. Don't go there. Forgive them. Release them. Let them go. Stop looking at them. Look unto me. That's what he says all the time. Look unto him. In Romans 3, 21 and 22. Says, but now apart from the law of right, a righteousness of God hath been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ unto all them that believe, for there is no distinction. So your righteousness is given when you believe. Doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what you've done. Everyone receives it when we believe. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, him that knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we're going to have to be in him to walk in righteousness. I know it's a foundational word, but there's no way to walk as a thankful person unless you agree that you're righteous. Unthankfulness starts to rise up when you believe you're unrighteous, or when you're dirty, when you're wrong, when you're a failure, when you're a loser. All of those things come in and we start to malign the word of God, because we start to agree with what human beings have either said or what human beings have done rather than what God said. And in the beginning was the right. And if you obey the word, right, you'll walk in your freedom. So therefore, every word that comes out of our mouths must be in line with what he said. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he says, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Tell your neighbor, say, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus to you. That's it. In everything. That's where we start. You wake up in the morning, give thanks. Your feet hit the floor, give thanks, because your feet can hit the floor. Now, some of you is maybe a little short and your feet don't quite touch, but, you know, give thanks anyway, all right? Your feet hit the floor. You have a breath. You have breath in your lungs, give thanks. There's food in your fridge, give thanks. If you're struggling with food in your fridge, if you don't have any, especially for Thanksgiving, see Lisa. Listen, and give thanks. Give thanks for people that come and serve. We'll serve about between three. I think we're doing it on Wednesday this week, right? Before Thanksgiving, and we'll serve between 300 and 400 people. We're going to sow into them. Why? Because we're thankful that God's given us the ability. We have a walk-in freezer. Why? Because Burger King gave it to us. They got a new one. Burger King gave us theirs. So we got a walk-in freezer to put some stuff in. So we can what? Serve more people. Why? Because we're a thankful people. And if God can get it into your hands and you release it, he can give you some more. Amen? We started out with 2 stand-up freezers. Now we have 3 stand-up freezers and a walk-in freezer. Because when God can get it through you, he can get more to you. You see, the more thankful you are, you see, because we're thankful, we can give. How many believe that God's going to meet all of your needs? Yeah. Right. Now, he's only going to bless the works of your hands. Tell your neighbor, say, get a job. Right. All right. So he's going to bless the works of your hands. That's what he said he would do. When you put, whatever you put your hands to, it's going to be blessed. Right? That's what God does. That's what he said he would do. His word is true and he doesn't change. Amen? And when we walk out of his word with a thankful heart, it starts to change your situation and your entire future. Just being thankful. In everything, give. It's about giving again. You get when you give. You gave your life to Christ. Now you have all. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is yours. Amen? There's nothing lacking. Tell your neighbors, I lack nothing. Right? You can change the world where you're at right now. There's no person. I don't care if Satan himself walks into your house. You've got the authority to cast him out. Everything changes because of the Christ in you. Nothing. And when you're thankful, oh God, here he comes. We're not talking about your husband coming home. Okay? We're talking about when the devil, when the lie comes, oh Lord, thank you for the strength to drive that thought out. Someone shows up to Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday and you say, oh Lord, no. Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, because I'm learning how to handle myself in a very difficult situation. I'm learning now how to be grateful no matter who else walks in the room. That I'm going to look unto you and I'm going to serve that person that I struggle with. You know what the Bible says? Bless those that curse you. So the scripture says, see, when you're thankful, when your heart is rich, and when we learn, can I tell you, being thankful is work. Being grumpy is easy. Isn't it? You don't have to work at it. How you doing? I don't know. I think it stinks. Everything stinks. Half the people come, yeah, I agree with you. Let's sit around and stink together. How easy is it to get people to be mully grubs? How easy is it to get people to agree with you that life is miserable? Life is so hard. Liar! You know what country you're living in? Life is not hard here. If your life is hard, you got different decisions you need to start making. It's that simple. One of them is to be more thankful. To be more thankful for the little that you have. The widow threw that mite in there. What about when Elijah came to that village? There's a drought in the land. And that little old lady, she came out. She's out there working. He says, hey, you got something to eat? How many of you would have said, no? No, I got nothing. Just enough for me. So many Christians live that way. This is mine. I've got enough for me. This woman says, yeah, I have enough for a chunk of bread for me and my son. And then we're going to die. He said, well, take it and make it for me. What do you say? She knew he was a prophet. He said, go ahead and make it for me, and you'll have plenty. She stepped out and believed the word of God. The word came. She took what she had that she was thankful for, and she made it up for someone else, and they couldn't contain the oil. They ran out of jugs to fill oil. I want you to know, when you take what's very dear to you, and when you think you're at the end of your rope, that's when you have to be thankful. And say, Lord, now this is yours, Lord. Oh, this one hurts, Lord. This is the one I thought this was for me. And God said, no, that's for someone else. And when we sow that, it releases God's blessing upon your life. Because now no longer are you looking at the natural aspect of things, but the supernatural side, because you're thankful that he's the God that blesses. He's the God that gives. He's the God that multiplies. He's the God that changes your whole future. That's who he is. When we're thankful. When we're thankful. Today we've got to practice being more thankful. Psalms 100. It says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. See, the first thing we're going to do is shout. We did that earlier. Amen. I hope you did. Listen, when you shout, walls come tumbling down. That's the way it works. It's a biblical principle. How do we know? Because it's written in the Word. So when we take that principle, we start to shout. Listen, when you're by yourself in your prayer room, go ahead and shout. Don't shout on Thanksgiving morning. When you get in your prayer room, you start shouting unto God with a voice of triumph. It's not a voice of whining and sniveling. It's not a voice of complaining about everybody else. It's not trying to manipulate God. God won't be manipulated. Amen? Here's what God's going to do. Whatever his word says. Can we just go there? When you get into your prayer closet, say what the word says with great joy, with great thankfulness, and with great authority. Because his word is yours. He gave it to you. Jesus Christ was the living word. And he said, hey, when you walk according to the word, this is how your life can go. You're going to have to lay it down, though. You're going to have to serve with thanksgiving. You have to be thankful in serving. You ever been around people when you're trying to get something done and you're serving and they're all grumbling and complaining? Well, if you have kids, you did. But then you got to encourage them to press through and to learn how to do it with a grateful heart. Isn't that what we tell them? You should be grateful for what's on your plate. You should be grateful you got a nice bed to sleep in. You should be grateful you got shoes on your feet. And you should be grateful that God gave you that little gift called your child to train in the fear and the admonition of him. We've got to be living with a thankful heart. It goes on to say, serve the Lord with gladness. come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord, he himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with
thanksgiving.
And his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is a time and a season in America. We all know what's coming. Doesn't matter who's president. It might prolong it, but we all know that's coming. What's coming? And our job is to live in the understanding and the fullness of the character of Christ. A lot of times when people say, you know, I just don't feel that. I don't feel that unction, whether it's to pray or to prophesy or to preach or to even sing. Can I tell you, the more that we become like Christ, the more of an overflow it is. It's not something you have to try to do. But the more that we think about God and all that he has done, the more that we read about him and all that he has given us, the more that we sit and meditate on what God does, then the more it just becomes an overflow. Kristen wrote that word. I know you didn't write it this morning. She wrote it the other day, whenever it was, maybe weeks ago, maybe months ago, when she was sitting with her time with God. And that's what God does with her. She sits with him and she prays, and then she starts to write these beautiful words from God that encourage the body. I don't know about you, but I was encouraged. That's what happens every time when you steal away with him and you get thankful. God starts to overflow through you. This is what he does for each one of us. The grumpier you are, the less you have to give as far as kind words. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm all done. Tell your other neighbor, say, I'm all done. Being grumpy. We're all done. So many people relate to Scrooge and the Grinch and all of them. He don't live here no more. He's not even allowed in here. Well, maybe Scrooge if he gets saved and tithes, but other than that, that attitude isn't allowed in his house. Why? Because we're free indeed. We're free to glorify God. We're not looking to a man. We're looking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we are walking with a thankful heart. We are thankful in the midst of whatever's going on in your life. And I know there's some horrible things that are going on in people's lives in this house right now. I know there's hard things. I understand that. But even in the midst of the tough times, we still have to give thanks for who he is. Not for the situation. We're not sitting here, oh God, I'm so thankful that somebody has got pneumonia. Who would do that? Right? But we're thankful because when we walk with thanksgiving in our heart, then we're putting God back in the place that he deserves to be. When we're thankful, Father, I know you're showing me how to walk through this in the midst of this tough situation. Then we're giving him the authority that he has over the situation. When we start to thank him, Lord, I know you're able to keep me. Father, I know you're the healer. Lord, I know you're the one that supplies the needs. When we start to become thankful, Father, I thank you for meeting that need. I thank you for that healing. Lord, I thank you for deliverance over in this situation here. Whatever it is, we start to get thankful to God. And in the midst of that, he starts to change everything. But he changes us. When you walk into the room, what do people do? What do they do when you walk in? We can tell by people's responses whether we're thankful or not. Do they call us when they're in need? Because they know that we're going to give them the word of the Lord. Do they call us when they're hurting? Because they know that we're going to bring the healing balm. Do they call us when they don't know what to do? Because they know that we're going to spend time with the Father and we're going to bring the wisdom of God that says, line up with his word. Stand on his word. Be thankful in the midst of this situation that he's still God. You're not by yourself. You're not an orphan. There are no orphans in the kingdom of God. There's none. God sets the orphans in families. Tell your neighbor, say, welcome to the family. Yeah. Some people didn't have a very good family life. This is to be different in the house of God. In order for it to be different, you have to be thankful, even if somebody sat in your seat. Can't tell you how many times people have come and complained to me over the last 25 years. Pastor, somebody's sitting in my seat. I've been sitting there for at least 6 months. I'm telling you, I've had it many times. You guys are very territorial. You got control issues, too. And you don't like change. People come in, and I would ask them, did you pay for that seat? No. Then it ain't yours. Find another. Prayerfully, you'll never sit in the same seat because you'll always be bringing people to Christ and giving them your seat and taking another. That's the attitude that we're supposed to have coming in. Amen? Yeah. Whole rows have been moved because somebody else came in and sat, and their friends and their family sat next to them. Who do they think they are? They're the body of Christ. And when we walk in, what do I care where I sit? You know why I sit up front? So I don't have to see any distractions. That's why I sit up front. I don't want to see people on their phones. I don't want to see people sitting there talking to one another. I don't want to see people sitting there scratching each other. I don't want to see them stabbing each other. Oh, this song's for you. You should really pay attention to this one. I don't want to see that. I want my eyes on him and him alone, because I know that in his presence there's a fullness. And I need that fullness. So when we walk out of here, all that one drink, the scripture says, one drink from him and you become a well, a river comes flying out of you. You overflow with the goodness of God, with the mercy of God, with the grace of God. That's what happens when you drink him in, when you become thankful, when you walk out, you all of a sudden, everything starts to overflow out of your life and people's lives start to get changed. We need to be those that are thankful. We've got to put the Father back in the place that he deserves, above every situation, above what anybody else has ever done. Father, they hurt me, but you set me free. Father, they wanted nothing to do with me. Lord, they cast me aside, but you took me in. Whatever it is, when we put him back, when we become thankful and we put him back and we focus on him, then all of a sudden they start to fade into a misty gray and they no longer have control over your life. Amen. Isn't it good to get that back? Isn't it so good when you can walk into a room? How many of you have ever walked into your class reunion and see all your insecurities all of a sudden? Because they remember what you did. Can I tell you, you are not who they say you were. You are free indeed in the name of Jesus. So when you walk in the room, Christ walks in the room. Righteousness walks in the room. Power walks in the room. Authority walks into the room. Freedom walks into the room. When you walk in, every room you walk in, that's who you are in Christ. And when you're thankful before you walk in, oh God, I know you're going to use me. Who is it, Lord? Who is it that gets set free today? Who is it that gets changed today? Lord, because I need nothing from anyone in this room. I truly am free indeed. But somebody's life is going to get changed because you are a wonderful, amazing Father. Colossians 5:17 in closing. It says, and whatsoever you do, tell your neighbor, say, you got to do something. Not 20% doing 80%. That's the stats in churches. Stats in church are 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Yep. Tell your neighbor, say, you got to change. Whatsoever you do. Listen, because there's two changes that have to come, right? Those that aren't doing something, do something. Those that are doing too much, delegate. That's how you raise up leaders. Amen? 5:17 in Colossians. Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving what? Thanks to God through the Father. Whatever you're going to do, do it unto Him. Whatever you're doing, if you got a job and your boss is tough to work for, you better get on your knees and thank God for the strength to walk through. And then make sure that you're the one that encourages everybody there if he doesn't. If you've got a worker that's out of control and it just frustrates you, then you better start thanking God long before he gets to that job. You better start thanking him, because we all either have family or work with someone or work for someone, and we all have to deal with this attitude of thankfulness. But if you want your freedom, you'll be thankful. This Thanksgiving, no matter where you walk, get lost with your God. Prepare your heart and say, oh no, this year I will be a thankful person. I guarantee you what's going to happen. You're going to walk through the door and somebody's going to go slap. Say something you didn't like. And that thing's going to go. And you're going to say, no. And and this is what goes on inside your head and inside your heart. And you're going to say, no, I'm thankful that I'm free indeed. And I'm going to be responding with the word of God that brings deliverance and healing in their lives. That's why they're attacking. They're attacking because they need the freedom that you're walking in. Amen.